I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 3rd, 2024, and I want to start out today talking about this article on CBC. Does anyone still want kids? Families are shrinking as people have fewer children. Or none at all as Canada records its lowest fertility rate for a second year in a row in 2023. The article talks about how big families have fallen out of style and people seek personal fulfillment in terms of having kids and are not thinking about the fact that everything that you enjoy in society rests upon stable demographics and stable family dynamics. It was the family who built this entire nation. And if we don't have children and pass it on, the entire civilization that we enjoy will collapse around us. And you can't third world immigrate your way out of this crisis. Now, what are some of the things that people say? They say that having kids are too expensive. Having kids is too much of a burden. People are worried that their selfish little lives would be interrupted by the responsibility that they would have if they had a family. Now, just to preface, this is not a video or a subject where I'm talking to people who can't have children, who have trouble having children, who have experienced any number of difficulties getting children into the world. This is not for you. This is for everybody else who thinks they're going to be losing out on their selfish little lives to have children. You are literally turning away the single best experience you could ever have in your life. If you're a good person, you're a good soulful person, you're on a journey in life, children will give you far more than the work that you put into them. Now, talking specifically about the expense of having children, did you know that if you make under $37,000 a year in this country, the government will give you close to $700 a month to subsidize your children? That's your food, that's your diapers, and that's your clothes taken care of. And that's if you have to go the daycare route. That's without considering the emphasis that they put on this cheap daycare, which I don't think is a good option, but it is out there for people. And then there's the idea that it's too expensive. I just want to take you on a little tour of Saskatchewan. For the purposes of this video, I've picked the little town of Tisdale, Saskatchewan, to highlight how cheap it is to get yourself into a starter family home in many places in the country, not just Saskatchewan, but we're going to focus on Saskatchewan today because I can't give you a whole tour of the country. Go to realtor.ca and check out some of the options. They're available. $84,000 for a three-bedroom, one-bathroom house. Not overly much bigger than the one that I had two children in myself before I moved to Saskatchewan. Now, it's a starter home. Let's have a little look at it. Sure, it needs a bit of work, maybe some upgrades. Maybe it's a little bit dated, but it's a place to live that's warm and will keep you dry and will suit your starting family just fine. Let's have a look at Saskatchewan jobs or sasjobs.ca. And here's all the available positions that are just listed on this website for ready employment at wages that would allow you to carry that house. This idea that it's too expensive to have kids is a convenience idea. It's an excuse. It's one that I used to think myself until I learned the reality is kids aren't that expensive. They're as expensive as you want to make them. Secondly, it's not just that they will give you the best experience of your life. You will give them the best experience of their life. I don't care how difficult your childhood was. I had a difficult childhood. You can give the next generation better. And you can take a lot of pride in it. And you can enjoy the innocence of their little lives as they run around interacting with the world. And they'll remember that for the rest of their life. Because I remember the bright moments in my own childhood and hold on to them and treasure them, and they are some of the best times I ever had in my life in spite of everything that I went through. And my children are having better. And you can pass that better on down the line, and you can preserve Western civilization while you do it. It's just nothing but winning. But we've been programmed. We've been indoctrinated to hate the family. When I once talked about having a third child with a very prominent NDP person, I talked about having a third child. They were horrified that I would dare bring a third child into the world because of the carbon impact that that child would represent. as if the entire planet and our entire civilization and everything that that individual does with their life doesn't depend on humans regenerating themselves. People are not bad. Western civilization is not bad and can only be preserved by those who grew up in it and pass it on to the next generation. So let's dispense with a bunch of myths. You can succeed having a family and be very happy and fulfilled. So why not give it a thought? Now, I just want to say for the record, it's not just Tisdale, Saskatchewan. You can repeat this process with many towns all across Saskatchewan, good small towns with low crime rates, nice and safe outside of the GTA in Vancouver and the horror shows that leftist policies have turned our cities into. There's lots of opportunity out there for you to have the best experience of your entire life. Now, you might also say, I don't want to bring children into this world. That's just another excuse. You would not be here if people who lived through the bubonic plague didn't have children. The extinction level events that have plagued humanity going back thousands of years, if those people had not had children, you would not be here. The people in the 1950s who thought atomic warfare was an imminent threat decided to have more kids than the current generation is, and you are the benefactor of their decision. And one last thing, at the risk of belaboring this point, if you think the world, our world, Western civilization, the best civilization the world has ever created, if you think it's not a good place for children and for human beings and the future of humanity, why are you still getting up every day? You who are watching this, who benefit from life itself, the life that you live, which is worth living, how can you be so hypocritical? If it's good enough for you to keep your skin in the game, it's good enough to pass on. We don't want to become like South Korea, which if they continue on their population trends and their demographic trends, they will go from a population of roughly 50-odd million people down to maybe a few million within four generations. That's catastrophic. We will lose civilization if we don't have more children. Moving on from that subject, I just want to discuss all the double standards that are permeating Canadian political culture, starting with the Freedom Convoy and its organizer defending charges that encouraged honking during the protest. This is real. This is really what we're doing. The most peaceful occupation and protest in the history of the country, the most organic Canadian flag waving movement that has ever occurred, has received nothing but condemnation from most elected politicians, the Conservative Party notwithstanding, and the media. They're being delivered justice, so-called justice, with long prison sentences, heavy fines, deliberate targeting, and misrepresentation on a scale that we have never seen before in Canadian history. At the same time, we have all of these church burnings. And this is a small number. This isn't the real number. And there isn't any outcry from political leadership in Canada, in the current government, and very little at the provincial level, talking about how Christians and their buildings are being targeted for destruction. This seems to be okay. The targeting of Christians seems to be fine. You may have noticed that the Prime Minister doesn't really celebrate Christian holidays the way he does a diverse mix of minority causes. We also at the same time have pro-Palestinian. Now note, I want you to note how Freedom Convoy is in quotes, pro-Palestinian is not in quotes. Now is that really what these people are up to when they chant from the river to the sea? Are they being pro-Palestinian or are they saying a genocidal phrase? It seems to be okay if you hate Jews in this country, you can get away with it. You can target private business. You can engage in destruction. You can clash with the police and still get favorable media. You can rally around divestments, helping to unify Canada's pro-Palestinian movement. This is your publicly funded state media promoting a foreign cause on Canadian soil, and again, total absence of quotation marks. One of the key differences between the Freedom Convoy and every other imported ethnic cause, whether it's Palestinians or Khalistani separatists or any number of other things that have nothing to do with Canada, the Freedom Convoy was concerned with your charter rights, which the government was violating. They wanted to coerce you into a medical experiment that, in retrospect, was very dangerous. They took away your freedom of movement, your freedom to make money. They took away all of your rights over a mild respiratory infection. The left, who runs this country, runs the media, and runs the courts, only seem concerned with bodily autonomy when it's about killing babies. The future of the nation, literally abortion rights and abortion promotion. It's not so much abortion rights. It's abortion promotion as healthcare, as a perfectly legitimate thing that you shouldn't feel any guilt for. This is the end of our civilization that they are promoting. They care about bodily autonomy when it comes to that, but they do not care about it when it comes to a product developed by companies who were granted immunity from the harms that they caused. And if they did cause harm, and the few times the government will admit on the record that they caused harm, you as a taxpayer have to pay the compensation, not the pharmaceutical companies who profited by the entire process. Time and time again over the last couple of years, I've ran into people who insist that there was no risk and that it is an entire concoction of conspiracy theorists, this idea of harms, even though AstraZeneca has been pulled off the market, even though Johnson & Johnson has been pulled off the market because of the very real risk those medical products posed. This is just the latest data point in a long series of data points. I share them with these people, and instead of acknowledging the reality of the data points, they just disappear from the conversation, and you find them weeks later still repeating the notions because they don't care about truth. They care about reinforcing their preconceived bias. I'm not going to read the title because it's problematic for YouTube censors, but I will read the conclusion, though I might change a couple words. In conclusion, these findings show that like younger individuals, because we already know the adverse effects of boosting on the young, older adults produce antibodies with reduced functional capacity upon repeated medical experimentation. Additional research is needed to better understand the mechanisms underlying these responses and their potential implications for medical experimentation's effectiveness. We don't need more study. That is just political gobbledygook because this is a very dangerous subject. This is Pandora's box. Once this is inside you, there is no going back. You're going to have to live with it for the rest of your time. And that's not even discussing all of the other things that are known. This is just the latest data point. The more you take, the more immunosuppressed you are, the worse your body is going to be. And this is what the Freedom Convoy was trying to protect your right to say no to. And they are the most demonized force in recent Canadian political history. It is the peak of injustice. And all the while, while Freedom Convoy organizers get dragged through the court system for peaceable assembly, for defending your charter rights, which you only seem to have when the politicized judiciary in this country decides that you have them because the underlying politics supports the convenience of your charter rights. I've always said the charter is not worth the paper it's written on, and this is why. It's subject to political interpretation. It's subject to the government of the day and those who appoint the justices and their political whims. While these people are being demonized, in addition to the Palestinian cause calling for genocide every single day and targeting Jews all over this country, Khalistani separatists, which we've already talked about, and any other number of ethnic causes that have nothing to do with Canada, we also have some homegrown things. Here's an example of something you can say in Canada right now and get away with it.
Fuck the Jews. Fuck you. Fuck your Holocaust. Fuck your banks. Fuck your stupid fucking bullshit ethno-state shitbag magic book country. I wish the fucking Palestinians just overrun and wipe out your entire civilization. I wish Hezbollah would just rain down ungodly fucking hate on you until there's nothing left of you. I wish that would happen. I sincerely wish that. I am so fucking sick and...
And maybe this is just because Mr. McKenzie is upset with Rebel News and Ezra Levant, because Ezra Levant unapologetically says the phrase that Jeremy McKenzie is a Fed. Where would Ezra Levant get that idea?
Were you willing to have a continuous relationship with law enforcement to assist them in identifying legitimate threats to public safety?
Of course, if there was anything for me to give them or assist them in any way, I would have, yes.
Speaking about reporting things to authorities, have you ever reported extremist behavior to authorities?
Yes.
Some people get away with things that you and I never could. Now, it is quite common to see people saying that Canada is broken, and it's only partially true. The bureaucratic state that we all live under and are forcibly extracted at the point of a gun of our hard-earned dollars to finance is broken. Justice is long gone. Your rights, if they exist at all, are on the ropes, and they only apply if your politics is suitable to the current regime. But the people, the underlying fabric, those raised of this land, those born into it, contain within them the flame that we can fan back into a fire that can save the value of the underlying culture. Look, that culture exists in many places. It exists all around us. I've seen it in simple things like stopping on the side of the road, hunting for a Christmas tree here in Saskatchewan. It's quite cold in December. If you're parked on the side of the road, someone's going to slow down and ask you if you need help because nobody wants you to freeze to death. That's Canada. Big families, children, happy children, playing together and laughing joyously, learning values, learning manners at the table, learning their P's and Q's, learning how to be civilized beings. That's Canada. That's the core. And it's still there. It's still healthy. It still exists, even though through every means possible, the government is trying to destroy it. We absolutely can have a much better future. And there's a lot of pathways to that better future. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you value this work, please consider supporting it. It takes a lot of time, takes a modest amount of effort. And moving forward in the future, it'll probably take more. Visit the website, give it some support if you want to. Otherwise, continue to watch and enjoy, because it is provided freely.